Welcome back to Rome Boys in this special edition interview with Jesse Romero. Quick little bio on Jesse. He's a longtime Catholic evangelist and a retired veteran of the Los Angeles Police Department, or County Sheriff's Department. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
Correct.
He holds an undergraduate degree in liberal arts from Mount St. Mary's College in Los Angeles and a graduate degree in Catholic theology from Franciscan University in Steubenville. Mm-hmm. He speaks frequently around the country and is popular host of two radio shows. Jesse is the author of several books, including Catholics Wake Up, Be a Spiritual Warrior, and his most recent book, A Catholic Vote for Trump. Welcome, Jesse Romero.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
We really appreciate it. Go ahead.
Can you add a little bit more to your bio, Jesse? Let viewers know who you are.
Sure. I retired from the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department after 25 years of service. And I just felt the calling as a young cop. I'll be honest with you, I fell in love with Jesus, or as men say, I got a man crush on Jesus.
Yeah.
And so that changed everything. That was a game changer for me. And at that moment, it actually happened when I was a rookie cop, when I had this interior conversion, when I just all of a sudden, I just knew Jesus was everything, everything I was ever looking for in a leader. I was always gravitating towards things that I trained, for example, in full contact karate. I trained at the most respected gym in the United States. People from all over the world would come and train. It was called the Jet Center. You had the best martial artists back in the 80s that would train there. Chuck Norris, the Superfoot Wallace, wow. I mean, Van Damme, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Seagal. Anybody who was anybody in martial arts, they trained there. Benny Urquidez, Blinky Rodriguez. That was like the Mecca. That was like a Spartan academy. And so, I mean, a bunch of alpha males. And I guess I was around them because I was always looking for, I want to be around a winning team. Then I joined the LA Sheriff's Department, largest sheriff's department in the world. I mean, we ran the streets. We controlled the streets of LA County. And again, I just always want to be part of something huge. And then I discovered that I was already part of something bigger than the Jet Center with all the elite fighters from the world, bigger than the LA Sheriff's Department. I was part of the one Catholic church whose general is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that, to me, that became a game changer once I was able to process all of that and really accept that and realize, like, wow, I truly am special.
Amen.
Wow, he got me all fired up just talking. Talk.
Yeah, I can feel the, you know.
Adrenaline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we want to pump. You up.
But
just swelling a little bit.
What was that? What created that interior conversion for you? I mean, it sounds like it was pretty pivotal, and it was, just a momentous time in your life.
In Southern California, there's a lot of Protestants there, just like there probably is in Texas, and it's often, you know, you're gonna just encounter them just working and stuff, and just living in Southern California, so. I ended up getting assigned a partner 8 hours a day. I mean, you know this guy more than your wife. He was an evangelical Protestant, fallen away Catholic who had become a Protestant in the service, joined the Sheriff's Department. We worked together. We're supposed to work together for like 6 months. We ended up working together for like 2 years. He was a very good influence on me because he wasn't an anti-Catholic. He was what I call a Jesus-loving Protestant. And through his, I mean, I'm working with him 8 hours a day in and out and stuff. So we get to know each other. and you start feeling comfortable with each other, he started just saying, "Hey, Jess, I see a lot of goodness in you. You have a lot of like natural goodness." He says, "I know you're Catholic." He says, "You should start reading the Bible." I said, I think you could draw a lot of good information and inspiration because you're a good guy and you already have, you're a virtuous guy and stuff. And I think it would just put some pep in your step. So I said, you know what? That doesn't sound like a bad idea.
Right.
So
right.
I remember one night I went home, went to my closet. I got my St. Joseph's New American Bible. It was still in the cellophane wrap.
Oh.
I opened it up. I was like 25 years old. So I've been confirmed about 12 years before that. I never opened it before. I said, you know what? This guy's right. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, I am Catholic and stuff. I should get to know who Jesus is at a deeper level. I mean, and so I accepted the challenge, and probably about the age of 26, I started reading the Bible, the Gospels. And I can tell you, prior about the age of 27, I said, you know what? There's something here that I need to tap into. And I started saying, I'm going to read it every single day. I just turned 59 a couple of weeks ago. I've been reading the Bible every day since the age of 27, every day for 10 to 30 minutes a day. And what happened is just, I saw the Catholic faith come alive through God's word. I fell in love with Jesus. I got an understanding of who I am, what I'm doing here. The fact that, you know, I'm going to have a final day called death, judgment, heaven, and hell. So a lot of things, I got what moral clarity reading my St. Joseph's Catholic Bible and taking it serious and just doing a deep dive. Because a lot of Catholics, you know, we just were very superficial. I just did a deep dive and it just changed my life. And now I'm a Catholic preacher.
That's great. Yeah.
It's awesome what sacred scripture can do for our faith. I remember, you know, going to a Protestant college. I was in Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, and it was them that taught me to read the Bible too. You know, we as Catholics need to read sacred scripture every day, and that's a great witness that you have that we appreciate. So, well, let's get into your book. I really enjoyed your book, and we, Chris and I, have heard you speak at different conferences and that kind of thing, and we are inspired by your boldness and your fire. So, but as we get closer to November, can you share with our viewers the non-negotiables for Catholics? What are the lines that you can't cross when we vote?
You know, you have a lot of Catholics trying to blur the lines, like Father James Martin, and other progressives just like him that are trying to blur the lines. But things are very clear. As Catholics, we have what's called a hierarchy of truth, hierarchy of truths, which means that some things, as Catholics, they're non-negotiable. We have to toe the line. We must adhere to them if we consider ourselves Catholics. Then we have secondary issues, which generally fall into what we would call policy issues, or negotiable issues. We're Catholics. We can agree to disagree on how we roll out immigration, how we, Medicare, Medi-Cal, reforming education. There are secondary issues, or there are issues that we call just policy issues, that Catholics can have a good, healthy debate and say, no, we shouldn't, gin up the welfare rolls. We should try to get people off of welfare and into the workforce. So we can argue about the secondary issues, but on the life issues and on marriage, that's not government's job. That comes from God's word. That's divine revelation. That's revealed by God. And so when the issue of abortion, this is revealed by God, thou shalt not kill. And the Hebrew word, it actually says in the fifth commandment, it actually says thou shalt not murder. And the Hebrew word, it actually means you can't take an innocent human life. Euthanasia, that falls under the fifth commandment, that's murder. That's the unlawful killing. We're turning doctors, instead of healers, we're turning them into killers.
Yeah.
You have junk science like sex reassignment surgery, embryonic fetal stem cell research, cloning. This is junk science. We're turning our doctors into Frankenstein monsters, and what they're doing is immoral. These are immoral things they're doing with human life, or the beginnings of human life. Then we have the issue, which is basic. It's civilization turns on this issue, the issue of marriage. Marriage has been revealed by God. This is natural law. It's his natural law. You don't even have to go to the Bible. Every single race, culture, civilization, empire has known that a man and a woman constitute a family and they bring human life. And then God's revealed it as well. So it's divine revelation. Mm-hmm. And so those issues are non-negotiable, because when you start tinkering with marriage and human life, it's like splitting the atom and stuff, man. This is dangerous stuff. You're creating the atom bomb, and people are going to pay a heavy price, and there's going to be fallout. And we're already seeing it. We're already seeing the fallout from the fact that people have been tinkering with human life and marriage. We're paying I'll give you an example. 73% of black babies don't have a father, okay? Blacks born in hospitals right now, 73% of these babies being born in hospitals right now don't have a father, okay? Is there a nexus between not having a father and the criminal justice system? Absolutely. I'm a retired cop. I can give you the data. 85% of inmates that are locked up in prison and that are doing time right now, 85% of these men come from fatherless homes or deadbeat fathers or broken fathers or fathers that are just basically checked out. And so a boy, a young black kid, young Latino that grows up in the hood and they grow up in a neighbor, they grow up without a father, that's a blueprint for failure. This is a blueprint for this kid is being groomed for failure. And so again, who's given us this whole, we don't need a dad at home? The Democrat Party, welfare, the 60s, you know, this whole welfare thrust turns the ghettos, the hoods, the barrios into matriarchal societies. Basically, telling the guys, we don't need you. You can impregnate women. You can leave and be irresponsible. We'll take care of the women. We'll give them EBT. We'll give them welfare, Section 8 housing. It's turned men to become very irresponsible. Women are left to fend for themselves. And you got a bunch of boys roosting under mom and stuff, and mom is working two jobs. They're going to become thugs. And that's what we're seeing right now all over the streets of this country.
Yeah, agreed.
Wow, that's absolutely right. Thank you for sharing that and your little bit of your background. But what are some of the major issues? And you already kind of touched on these a little bit, what you just said there. But what are some of the other major issues the Democrats today believe in that kind of contradict Catholic teaching?
Well, when you look at, for example, when you look at the four deadly sins, it's found in the catechism. I should grab my catechism. It says the four sins that scream to heaven. So, and in Catholicism, we got venial sins. I'm going to use cop talk. That's like a misdemeanor. Then you have in Catholicism, mortal sins. Mortal sins are a felony. That's cop talk, felony. And then you got four sins in the catechism that it says it screams the vengeance of God to heaven. Those would be death penalty offenses. Okay, so you got misdemeanors, felonies, death penalty offenses. You got venial sin, mortal sin, and the four mortal sins on steroids. When you look at the four mortal sins on steroids, the Democrats violate all four of them. In fact, let me grab the catechism. And so the four mortal sins that scream the vengeance of God to heaven, paragraph 1860-something. The catechetical tradition also recalls that there are sins that cry to heaven. The blood of Abel, that's killing an innocent human being. The Democrats, as Father Frank Pavone says, the Democrats don't know the difference between serving their constituents and killing their constituents. They don't, okay? Wow. Second sin here, mentioned in the catechism. The sin of the Sodomites, all right? And I'm just going to be honest. This has infiltrated our Catholic Church. Our Catholic Church is infiltrated with sodomites at all levels, cardinals, bishops, priests, and also men. I mean, a lot of Catholic men, I talk to guys all the time. I said, hey, when I give men talks, I say something very uncomfortable. I said, hey, guys, I know you guys are all trying to live your faith and you're here at a men's conference. And I'm glad you're here because you want to grow in holiness. And nobody here agrees that homosexual marriage comports with natural law, divine revelation. We know it's sinful. That also means, men, no sodomy within heterosexual marriage. You see half the guys like, oh, like, what? Yeah. That's just an unnatural act. It's unclean.
Yeah. Right?
So we got to put it out there. You know, don't just say, hey, Father James Martin, I'm just talking to you. We're talking to us ourselves as men. Okay. Third thing. And by the way, the Democrats passed the sodomy laws. It was Joe Biden brags about it. He's performed two that we know. He's performed two homosexual marriages in the White House. They're on YouTube. You can see them. Kamala Harris has performed a homosexual marriage as well in California. It's on YouTube. You can watch it.
Wow.
But Joe Biden brags about it. He brags. He says Barack Obama wasn't for homosexual marriage. He goes, I was working him, and I broke him. I finally got to him, and I got him to help me. And he goes, and we pushed it through California's governor, through the Supreme Court. So Joe Biden actually says, he goes, the big contribution of my vice presidency in 8 years was I'm the one that got homosexual marriage legalized. I, Joe Biden. Can you imagine? Wow. This fake Catholic brags about this. This guy brags about a sin that it caused God to destroy two cities. Can you, that God calls this an abomination. Fourth thing, the catechism, it says, the cry of the people oppressed in Egypt, the cry of the foreigner, the widow, and the orphan. And so the third sin that screams the vengeance of God is the cry of the people oppressed in Egypt, the cry of the foreigner, the widow, and the orphan. I would hand that albatross right around the Democrats. The Democrats use the Latinos like a punching bag. Mm-hmm. And the blacks. Every 4 years, they go out to the hood, black hood, Mexican hood, and they start talking about what we're going to do for you. And then once they get elected, you don't see them again for 4 years. Mm-hmm. What have the Democrats done for the blacks and Latinos? They've given them welfare and kept us in a plantation. Well, not me. I've been out of the plantation for a long time. They've put Latinos and blacks in a plantation, beholden to the government, beholden to welfare, beholden to Uncle Sam. They've made black men and Latino men, because of welfare and because of all the entitlements that they give, they've made them lazy and irresponsible. Because now a lot of black men and Latino, young black men and Latino men that are people that don't have a faith life. And so if you don't have a faith life, you don't have a moral compass. What do they call the women these days and the babies? There's a term in the hood. It's called baby mama. Talk about disrespectful. They call the women, not my wife, not my beloved wife, not my soulmate till death do us part. They call her my baby mama. Who's given us the whole baby mama culture? It's the liberal Democrat Party with welfare. It's made men irresponsible. Guys can't keep their pants on because they're saying, hey, you know what? I can wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I can walk away because Uncle Sam will take care of that baby, and I'll move on to the next woman. And they don't call them women. You know what they call them.
Right. And sing about it.
When you look at what they've done, here's the Democrat mentality. The Democrat mentality, they see a poor person. You know what they do? They say, come on over here, man. You're too stupid to figure it out. Let me give you a fish. You're hungry tomorrow? Come over tomorrow. I'll give you another fish. The Republican mentality is they see a poor person who's hungry. They say, dude, come over here, man. Here's a fish, but let me teach you how to fish. Mm-hmm. That's what Donald Trump did. This guy created the best economy in 60 years till the communist Democrats and, the globalists, till they destroyed this. They destroyed the lowest unemployment rate amongst blacks, females, Latinos that we've ever seen in 60 years.
Wow.
This was the boast of the world. And this was a hit job. This was a hit job. This Wuhan, China's communist virus that was whether by intentionally or accidentally. But I'll tell you one thing, as the Democrats are fond of saying, don't let a good crisis go to waste.
Mm-hmm,
right. And so they've used this. They're saying the only way we can get this guy off office, we got to destroy the economy because he's going to run this and we got nothing on him. This guy has, we are in a near utopia with this guy economically and stuff. We got to destroy it. Why are they afraid of Donald Trump? I'll tell you why. because everybody on both sides pretty much can be bought. They got a price, okay? Mm. A lot of them are just working stiffs that just, you know, they got jobs and stuff, and now they got lobbyists all around them, and there's a price. A lot of these guys can be bought on both sides, okay? I'd say more so on the Democrat side. But Donald Trump, he can't be bought by anybody. He's a businessman. In fact, he doesn't need the job. He doesn't need the money. He does this for free. Mm. Catch that? Mm-hmm. He does it. Who would work 15 hours a day getting insulted nonstop in the media? Your wife's getting insulted. Your kids are getting insulted. Hollywood goes after you. Who would do this for free?
Not it.
Nobody.
Yeah.
You know why he's doing it? Because he loves this country.
Yeah.
He loves the people in this country, because the Bible says no, there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for another. What this guy is doing, he's taking the hit for all of us,
mm-hmm.
because they want to come after us. He's just in the way. He's the bulletproof vest. He's the punching bag. And everything he's doing is doing it out of sheer love for this country and its people.
Yeah. And they're bringing the plane down to get rid of the pilot.
We're running out of time.
Surely there must be something you can do.
I'm doing everything I can. And stop calling me Shirley.
That doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. You know, the plane being the economy. They're bringing it down so they can get rid of the pilot. That doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's lunacy. It's crazy.
And they'll take credit for it, right, Jesse? Yeah. You know, it was the last president who caused the wave to rise, right? And the economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to take credit for it somehow. But let's bring it down.
Right.
Number three.
Well, so then I guess it begs the question, if Joe Biden was elected, how would that impact us as Catholics? What are your thoughts?
How would it impact us as Catholics? I can tell you right now, right off the top, on a spiritual level, this guy is going to start stripping us of our religious liberties.
Amen. Yeah. I believe that.
Why do I say that? Because this guy got an 100% voting record with NAREL on the issue of abortion. And so who's going to be his advisor? NAREL, Planned Parenthood. So what's going to start happening? He's going to start, through executive orders, start striking down the religious liberty of believers in this country. He's already said, if he becomes president, he says, you better get used to wearing those masks. So I'm assuming that we're probably going to be like, you know, perpetual Halloween for the next 4 years, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to have us all in our clown masks. All the Supreme Court decisions that have rendered a victory for Catholics like Little Sisters of the Poor,
yeah,
and Father Frank Pervone, Priest for Life. Trust me, he's going to come after these organizations again. He'll come after these organizations again. He'll open up a new lawsuit. Kamala Harris is very anti-Catholic. We know that. She thinks the Knights of Columbus are a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
She went after that one federal judge when she was a senator, and she was grilling him because he was a Knight of Columbus. Yeah, the Knights are so dangerous. The dangerous activity they engage in is, you know, making pancakes on Sunday morning for the parish. That's terrorist.
You're a Tootsie Roll, right?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Kamala Harris says, you know, she's got just a record. She went after David over in California. That's the young Catholic who went with a camera and did some undercover investigative reporting to try to get the goods on these abortion mills. And he discovered, and he put it on YouTube. I don't know how many videos he put out there, like 14. These interviews that he had with a lot of these Planned Parenthood doctors, they were admitting that they cut up babies and sell the baby parts in the market. Mm. And they've been doing this for years.
Mm.
And so Kamala Harris is, when the Attorney General, when this information was given to her, what does she do? Does she go prosecute Planned Parenthood as the Attorney General of California? No, she turned all her prosecutorial guns on this 28-year-old Catholic kid called David DeLighton, who went with a home camera and did all this investigative reporting. Yeah, she just got a history of going after Catholics, and Joe Biden. But we're seeing Catholic churches attacked all over the country, statues being destroyed. What do you hear from him? Crickets.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Yeah.
God. And guess what? And here's something else. Who's defending us? Now, who closed down the masses. Okay. It was the government that it's the blue states that are just, oh man, they're just, they're eating this stuff up. Blue state politicians in this, in blue state cities. Okay. Close down the masses. Well, I'll tell you who's actually been fighting for us to saying, open up the churches, let the people go back to mass, let the Protestants go back to their congregations. Who's been fighting for us? What bishop? None. Yeah. President Trump.
That's a great point.
Protestant president has been fighting for our rights so that I can go to Sunday mass and not be harassed. Who's fighting for me? Protestant president. My Catholic bishops? Not so much.
If there was one, Jesse, who would you point out as a bishop to be a good leader in our church that we could look to?
Strickland. I hear that name all the time. Strickland.
He's Tyler, Texas.
He's my man.
Yeah.
I tell you one thing, man. If I make another move, it'll be a one and final move. It'll be to Tyler, Texas. Uh-huh. I mean, me and my wife are actually talking about this.
Yeah.
It's not so bad where I'm at. Don't get me. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. We got a good bishop. He's kind of quiet, but you know, he tracks on the right direction on everything. I just think he doesn't want to get his head cut off by the powers that be over him.
Well,
So I think that's why he's kind of quiet.
And USCCB gets quite a bit of their money.
We need people to speak out.
Oh yeah, right. USCCB gets quite a bit of their money from the federal government, right?
Yeah. Through Democrat legislation, right? So, as a Catholic, the prophecy of Archbishop Fulton Sheen is coming to pass. Back in the 70s, Venerable Fulton Sheen, they gave a speech to the Knights of Columbus and the USCCB back then. It was a packed audience, and he said, in the future, it's going to be lay Catholics that are going to save the church. Literally, he said that. Lay Catholics are going to save the church. He said, he said, and he looked at all the bishops in the audience. That's why, this is why he was not liked. This is probably why they stole this canonization, by the way.
Gosh.
They don't like him. You know why? He's manly. He's not effeminate. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's not a soy boy. He's not a limpress. This is why they don't like him. He was manly.
Yeah.
And this is why they're not. This is why the USCCB, they're not going to, because they don't want to make him the paradigm of an American bishop and a saint, because they don't like him.
Yeah.
This Archbishop Fulton Sheen, he was back in the 70s. He was already speaking out against communism and socialism, very clearly. Listen to his stuff, calling socialism the comrades that are trying to take over this country. We have to oppose them. And so he made a lot of enemies, but he said this in the 70s, who's going to save our church? Not the bishops, not the religious, not the clergy. You lay people are going to save the church. He said, you lay people, teach your priests how to be priests, teach your bishops how to be bishops. That speech right there probably is what got him nixed from becoming a saint.
Wow. Right now, as you said, Trump is our biggest, a Protestant president is our biggest supporter right now, pushing to get masses back in to the churches. And what it was a couple of weeks ago, the United States Navy was canceling not Protestant masses or services, not Jewish services, Catholic services. They were canceling them, saying, you're not allowed to have masses for the Navy, for the Navy sailors. They could go to the local parishes, but they couldn't have one on their bases. And who comes out? President Trump. He says, no, that's never going to happen. Hmm. We're not going to let them.
That's right. Can you imagine? Once again, let me tell you how Catholic friendly he is. Oh, I forgot to mention the fourth sin that screams to heaven. The fourth one. Yeah. Catechism says injustice to the wage earner. Okay. Injustice to the wage earner. Who is unjust to the wage earner? Democrats. Mm-hmm. What president has been the best friend of the labor, of the blue collar guy, of the little guy? Donald Trump. Okay. And that's a sin. That's one of the four. That's the fourth sin. That's a mortal sin on steroids. When you screw somebody up, screw the little guy over. And that's what the Democrats are doing. Why are they going after small businesses all over the country? Why? Those are the people that put Trump in office. They were tired of career politicians. And so What have the Democrats done through this virus? They've weaponized it. They're closing on businesses in all these blue cities and blue states. Who does it affect? The small business guy, the little guy, the one that Donald Trump calls the forgotten man. They're being affected. But the big companies that support the Democrats, you know, Raytheon, Lockheed, Boeing, Yahoo, Google, Facebook, they're not affected. They're not affected by this. They're making money hand over fist. Those are the companies that support the Democrats. It's those companies that support Black Lives Matter. It's right. Those companies that support Antifa. Mom and pop operations, the little guy, those are the ones that voted for Donald Trump 4 years ago. And talk about being unjust to wage earners, which is a sin that you're going to answer to God for in heaven. It's one of the four deadly sins, one of the four mortal sins on steroids, being unjust to a wage earner. In California, New York, for example, hundreds, if not thousands, of these small businesses are going to be bankrupt. These were just the little guys that were paying their bills every month and worked hard. They're not on the government dole. And it's been these Democrat mayors and governors that have destroyed these little guys that are making, they're basically paying their bills once a month. That's the fourth sin that screams the vengeance of God to heaven, and they're guilty of it. Donald Trump is the best friend that Catholics have ever had.
Yeah, you can almost say that the Democrats are actually doing this in retribution for the little guy voting him in.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
It's payback. So you put him in, we're coming after you, little guy. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, this guy's the best friend the Catholic Church has ever had. I'll tell you why. Let me tell you some stuff. LifeSite News put out an article showing all his advisors. President Trump has more Catholic advisors than any other president in my lifetime.
Wow.
And when I'm talking about Catholic advisors, he's got like real Catholics, not fake Catholics like right. Nancy Pelosi and people like that.
Yeah.
You know, Catholics that go to Mass, wear the brown scapular, miraculous medal, go to Holy Hour, Daily Rosary. He's got those type of Catholics around him. Next, Father Frank Pavone is the personal advisor of him. He's an insider. But of course, now he's been told by the powers that be in Rome and in the U.S., you need to distance yourself. So he's got slapped in the nose a couple of times, and they're forcing him to distance himself. But he still does what he can. But President Trump, here's something very interesting. There was a priest called Father Mahalouf who went to go do an exorcism over the White House. He was invited by Mr. and Mrs. Trump, specifically Melania, and he did an exorcism over all the house. Because there was a lot of things in that house that other prior presidents had that were gifts from, you know, third world countries, people involved in the occult. And so all that was taken care of by President Trump, and a Catholic priest did the exorcism prayers all over every room. Also gave President Trump a blessed statue of Our Lady of Fatima. They took a picture together. President Trump in the Oval Office has a blessed statue of Our Lady of Fatima. Want to see how Catholic friendly he is? Did you see the way the RNC ended? Remember the RNC conference, the way it ended? You tell me what president has ever invoked Mary by having somebody sing the Ave Maria in Latin at the end of an RNC conference. Mary is all over this election. She's been called, and the Queen Mother is on duty now. The 12-star general has been summoned by the RNC convention.
You just gave me chills.
A friend of mine was telling me that he's actually from L.A., and he was saying, didn't you see the end of the RNC where they ended with the Ave Maria? And he's from El Salvador, and he was raised in the communist socialist era where his parents fled. And he's crying, telling me this story, you know, just an awesome, awesome experience to be able to witness this time in history. You know, would you say he's the most controversial president?
He's the most Catholic president, friendly, the most Catholic president we've ever had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Controversial to the left, not to me. I'm loving it. I mean, some people say, he's offensive. Look at the way he talks. I'm like, look at the way he talks. I said, what do you expect from this guy? when he's insulted. I mean, insulted.
Yeah.
Bad words. Remember that one senator said, called him an F, you know, dropped the F bomb. That's one of the squad. The View insults him daily. MSNBC, CNN. I'm talking ad hominem attacks. You got Hollywood actors, ad hominem attacks him, his family. I mean, to me, all he's doing is basically counterpunch. He calls himself a counterpuncher. You know, he pushes back, but they're not. I'll tell you why they're not used to it, because really, Republicans for the most part, they've never fought back like this guy. They sit there and they get smacked around by the media, by Hollywood actors, by the opposition, and they just basically say, yeah, can I have another? Yeah, can I have another?
Right.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Please, sir, may I have another?
President Trump, people have to remember, he was a Democrat most of his life. So he learned the school of aggressive rhetoric from being a Democrat, from being a businessman, from growing up in New York. And so he was trained by them in the art of aggressive speech.
Yeah.
And so now that he's become pro-life, he's moving towards God, having a conversion, and he's now has an R next to his name. All of us have a fallen nature. And, you know, for 60 some odd years, I mean, he was trained by the Democrats in getting people's faces and brash talk and you know, being aggressive in your speech. And so again, now he's brought this as a Democrat, as somebody who's trying to, and they don't know what to do with it. They're like, time out. You can't talk like that no more. You're Republican. You're supposed to let us slap you around. He's using their tactics against them, and they're like, their head's spinning.
Yeah, they don't know what to do. Yeah.
So we're right before the election. I mean, there's not a whole lot of time left. And you've been in L.A. As a cop, and the things that we're seeing on the TVs, the riots and all of this, I mean, what is this leading up to? To what end are they doing this?
Antifa and Black Lives Matter are nothing but what the brown shirts were for Hitler, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, it says the paramilitary arm of the Democrat Party. That's all they are. Okay. And they're going to try to use intimidation tactics to try to steal the election, intimidate voters. But what's happening is having an opposite effect, because people are saying, wait a minute, we're seeing the true colors of this party. I mean, when you go to Antifa.com and it goes to the Biden-Harris website, they're not even hiding it no more. Okay?
Right, yeah.
I mean, and when you go to Black Lives Matter's website and you go to there's a link there, a blue link, it says Act Something ACT, and you click on it, they send money to Biden's campaign. There's a nexus between all three of them. These anarchists, this is basically and the Democrats have used this before, by the way. The KKK came from the Democrat Party, from the Southern Democrats. And so, I mean, a lot of people have amnesia. They just seem to forget that it's the Democrat Party that's the party of slavery, the party of secession, the party of segregation, the party of same-sex marriage, the party of abortion. I mean, when you look at them, these guys have been violating people's civil rights since the very beginning. And so, this is what's important here is for us as Catholics to realize when you see what's happening on television in all these cities, we're going to have that. That's going to be the new normal. These are going to be the paramilitary operating wing, because a lot of the Democrats want to defund the police. Yeah. So what are you going to replace them for? Well, remember Barack Obama? He wanted to replace the police. He even said it. He goes, we need a civilian arm to go out there in these cities. Trust me, what Barack Obama said 8 years ago, this is in the back of their mind right now. Who's going to be the civilians enforcing the laws? Black Lives Matter and Antifa if Joe Biden wins, because Joe Biden's a pushover. The left is going to push him around because he's an empty suit. Sleepy Joe's an empty suit, and he has no intellectual firepower. He's going to be a puppet for the left, and they're going to push socialism down our throat. That's what we're looking at.
Yeah. So as a Catholic, where do we turn to for honest news? Because you hear all these lies, all this propaganda and journalism and the mainstream media is lies. So, and obviously a lot of Catholics are even swayed towards Biden, and like, and I'm just like, what are you thinking? And so where do we find the truth? Where do we hear honest media?
I like to tell people that I get my news from like EWTN and sources like that, because I'd rather get my information from people who believe they'll go to hell if they lie to me.
Right. That's a good point.
I agree. But here's what I would say. Most of the establishment media, you could see that these guys read from the same script. Mm-hmm. Like you could turn like CNN, MSNBC, The View, you know, they'll say the same thing. Donald Trump hates Latinos. They're reading from the same paper every day. Okay. And so there's a collusion. I'm happy now that we have alternate media. I trust the alternate media.
Yeah.
I go to sources on the internet that aren't basically beholden to the establishment. And so now when it comes to the mainstream media, the only ones that I believe put out the truth as best they can, you know, under their management, I would say the Fox News in the evening, Tucker, Hannity, and Laura, you're going to get a lot of truth there. Though in the daytime, there's a lot of anti-Trumpers there, even within Fox itself. So in the evening, you're going to get pretty much unadulterated stuff with those three. Outside of that, I go to alternative news. And there's a lot of good alternative news out there. For Catholics, we have LifeSite News, we have Church Militant, you got the Remnant. There's a lot of good stuff that's being put out there by Catholics that are not beholden to the establishment. And what I mean by that, they're not getting money from the USCCB or anything. These are Catholics that love the faith, love the Lord, love Our Lady, and are trying to put the truth out as they receive it. Protestants also have a lot of good outlets as well. OAN News, they have Focus on the Family. You also have some other stuff that's independent. Outside that one, I get some stuff also from Glenn Beck channel. I know he's a Mormon and stuff, but he's Catholic friendly. Breitbart News, I get stuff from them. So I look to get stuff outside of the alphabet network. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, even EWTN, they try to play it, you know, play it very politically correct.
Play it safe.
They're not going to really step outside and say anything edgy. The only one that an EW10 that I really like, because steps outside the comfort zone and he definitely sticks his neck out there, is Raymond Arroyo. Mm-hmm. Raymond Arroyo puts his neck out every single night. Yeah. Yeah. And I can imagine I'm guessing he probably has management at EWTN. They're probably saying, what do we do with this guy? Because he definitely doesn't fit establishment Catholic radio.
He spent a lot of time with Mother Angelica, and it shows.
Yeah. That was her boy right there. That's her boy.
Yeah.
It's great to see him and Laura Ingraham on, you know, Fox News and just speaking the truth and doing
Laura's
it boldly.
Laura's a serious Catholic. She's on our side completely. She's an Orthodox Catholic, a convert from Baptist Protestantism to the Catholic faith. Now Hannity, I think he's fallen away from his Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. I think when you hear him talk, I think he's probably he probably aligns himself more now with evangelical Protestant Christians. And again, I would just say Hannity, just like myself, he's just a product of his the poor formation that we went through back in the 70s. We're around the same age, and it doesn't help having horrible prelates in leadership in New York and seeing the corruption in New York, and just that obviously did not help him shore up his faith to become a stronger Catholic, being in the New York politics of Catholicism. Tucker's an Anglican or an Episcopalian, but you could tell he's a conservative Episcopalian or Anglican. Definitely Catholic friendly, and they're probably as close to the Catholic Church as you're going to get within Protestantism. So, yeah, those three people are really doing. That's why they're the most watched news. Those 3 hours right there of any news cycle of all the ABC networks by far, because people know they're saying, yeah, these guys put out some accurate stuff. Let me tell you what'll happen to Joe Biden if he wins. Joe Biden has basically, he's completely embraced the radical left at this point, because he's a pushover. Joe Biden will say whatever he needs to say to get elected. And now the radical left, basically, this is the voice box. This is the voice piece of the Democrat Party. If Biden wins on a natural level, and I'm not talking about supernatural level, there's something he'll do against life and marriage. On a natural level, we can count on higher taxes. Every time Democrats come in, you can count on higher taxes. You can count on open borders. In fact, I've heard Nancy Pelosi say, she said, Biden said, if he takes over the office of the president, he's going to rip off with heavy duty machinery anything Trump has built.
Wow.
So you can expect open borders and all the problems that come with that. And you could also expect if Biden wins, he's already embraced the Green New Deal. Again, he's bought into that whole, Green New Deal, which is going to destroy millions of blue-collar energy jobs, and it's going to threaten our way of life. Because the whole Green New Deal, let's just be honest, what is it? What's this all about? The theory is that there's too many people on planet Earth. And so we got to get away from oil and we got to get away from doing the things that we've been doing them because there's a big carbon footprint. And so this whole Green New Deal, what's underlining all of this, there's too many people on Earth. So this is going to fuel abortion and euthanasia. And who knows, maybe even everything in between, maybe even again, in some states have passed laws where they allow people, basically anybody at any age, you can go to see a doctor and say, you know what, I'm depressed, this, that, and the other. I'd like for you to give me a shot and just put me out of my misery. And there's gonna be the culture of death is going to be re-energized if Joe Biden wins, and they're gonna use the Green New Deal to say we need more abortions. All over the world, we need more euthanasia. There's just too many people, and the carbon footprint is too big, and we don't have. And look at the oxygen is being compromised. They're going to make up any excuse to start killing more and more people, because that's what happens when liberals take over. When liberals take over, they have a contempt for human life, except their own, of course.
Right. Yeah. It seems so obvious. It's a battle between good versus evil. It's so clear. I mean, the devil is not hiding anymore. He's just all out in, and we got to crush his head, man.
And that's why as Catholics, this is not a time right now to be a lukewarm Catholic. Mm-hmm. Right now is a time, if there's ever been a time in history, to be serious about your faith in God, have a relationship with God, being a prayer warrior, paying visits to the Blessed Sacrament to draw strength, going to Mass as often as possible to draw that sacramental power. As Catholics, here's what's happening, I'm noticing, and I just had this discussion with my wife. Bad people right now are becoming worse. For example, I've never seen, when cops get shot, usually people run over there and try to give them CPR, call the ambulance, officer, how can I help you? Now we're seeing when a cop gets shot, like the two in LA that just got shot over the weekend, people are taking video of them and laughing and saying, I hope you die, I hope you die, and following the ambulance to the hospital and yelling outside the window, I hope you die, I hope you die. We've never seen that. We've never seen that type of sickness and evil in the history of our country.
Demonic.
Never.
Demonic.
Evil people, bad people are becoming worse. And good people are becoming better. In other words, both sides are embracing their worldview and their ideology, and good people are becoming holier. They're saying, man, I need more Jesus. Man, this is Jesus time right now. And bad people are gravitating towards more evil.
Yeah.
So it's very clear. It's very clear where we're at right now.
Yeah.
in your book, you've been compelled to write a book about all of this and A Catholic Vote for Trump. I was curious about the title.
Yeah, I haven't even mentioned it. Yeah, I wrote a book, It's Catholic Vote for Trump. You can get it from my website, jesseromero.com, or you can go to tanbooks.com or amazon.com. I wrote the book because I've been following this man for 3.5 years, and I've been seeing the way he's been insulted since day one. They tried to hijack his election. They've tried to put phony cases on him to try to impeach him. And so I just said, you know, Catholics are going to need some clarity, some moral clarity, and they're going to need some answers. So I started tracking his presidency. And a few months ago, I came out with a book, me and my partner, John Morehouse. It's called A Catholic Vote for Trump. And we track everything. We track everything from the very beginning, demonstrating once again that the Catholic Church has no better friend in the White House than Donald Trump. And I demonstrate the way he loves his country, loves his people. I demonstrate the fact that he's for Main Street. He's not for Wall Street. I demonstrate the fact that he came in telling the corrupt establishment, you have, the king has no clothes, you're gone. The king has no clothes, you're gone. The king, this is why they hate him. He's the first president that's willing to tell people, you generals, all you guys want to do is go to war. He says, and 6,000 of our young men coming without arms and legs. What do you got to show for it? Have we won? What are we, just policemen in Afghanistan getting our kids, young people killed?
Yeah.
He has no prompt time. We're not doing it this way no more. This king has no clothes. He had no prompt time. Hillary Clinton. I've never seen anybody with this type of courage, man. He said, you know what I would do if I was president? I would lock you up. Mm-hmm. I've never seen this type of courage in a presidential debate to say that to a Democrat of the gravitas of the Clintons. If I were president, I would lock you up. What about this? Have you ever seen any other president take on the mainstream media and call them fake news? It's now, it's become their label. It's normal now.
Yeah.
There's no politician on the Republican side that would ever, ever say something derogatory about the media. They're deathly afraid of him. Mm-hmm. Trump is not afraid also of the global elites. He speaks out against the global elites constantly in his speeches. He's not foreign policy. He went to Saudi Arabia. I thought he was going to get killed. All these Muslim leaders are around him in this big old like arena. All these sheiks and stuff and all these Muslim leaders from around the world are there. Here he is with his, you know, three-man entourage looking at all of them. Islamic terrorism is your problem. You guys got to fix this. We can't fix your problems. I'm saying this guy's going to get killed. This guy's surrounded by 2,000 Muslim leaders, and he's pointing his finger at their chest and saying, this is your problem. This is the only president that's ever wanted to try to fix the border crisis, build the wall, stop the cartels from their human trafficking, from their sex slave, from their drugs. I mean, I can go on and on. That's what my book is all about. And the way I also end my book, I look at all the virtues, prudence, justice, temperance, fortitude, faith, hope, and love, and I demonstrate that President Trump, I demonstrate with actual things that he's done that this is a man that's moved and pursuing a life of virtue, moral goodness, the way he's governing this country. Get my book. It's called A Catholic Vote for Trump. You get it from my website, jesseromero.com or amazon.com or tanbooks.com. Get the book. Get a few books. Absolutely. In fact, right now, thanks. I'm glad you mentioned it. Tan just told me about it. They're blowing them out because we've got 50-some-odd. $5 a book. They went from $19.95 to $5 a book right now. Right now, 10 books, $5 a book, A Catholic Vote for Trump. If you want to become a high-information Catholic, get the book. And I've got in the back, I got little sentences, little things that you can tweet out or put on Facebook. You can just tweet them out every single day. I already did all the homework for you.
That's great. I was going to ask, you know, how to get the message out. And we can put it in the show notes. Joe's pretty good at that. So
absolutely. We'll definitely do that. Jesse, thank you so much for being on with us today. And we look forward to following you and all the stuff that you're going to be doing.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks.
Absolutely. Let's do it again.
This is great.
All right, brother. Let's do it before the election one more time.
Let's do it.
All right.
Yes.
Well, thank you all again for joining us.
All right, guys.
Don't forget to subscribe to our channel, and we'll be back soon. And don't forget, be real.
Be bold.
Be Catholic.
God bless.
God bless. God bless.